Thank you, Jane.
First reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, and starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love.
The second reading is also from Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 onwards, and it's about how we have been made alive in Christ, and it reminds us that we have a battle on our hands as we seek to live for Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, which you used to live in when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order to show the coming ages, that he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that anyone could boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Warren Wiersbe, one of my favourite authors, said this. He said, sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is a battleground, not a playground, and that he faces an enemy who is much stronger than he is, apart from the Lord. You know, the armour of God is not a metaphor for some sort of super Christian going into battle like a superhero from the Marvel universe or DC universe or any kind of superhero out of comics. It's the everyday clothing of faith that Christians should wear to stand firm in a world that pushes back against faith. Each piece is practical, purposeful, powerful when worn intentionally. But the Bible is clear, and especially in that passage in Ephesians 6, that the world, we face three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world refers to the system around us that is opposed to God, that caters to the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life. Society apart from God is a simple but accurate definition of the world. Basically, the world we live in is anti-God, and we stand firm against that. Then the flesh is the old nature that we inherited from Adam, a nature that is opposed to God and can do nothing spiritual to please God. By his death and resurrection, Christ overcame the world and the flesh and the devil. Now, let's look briefly at the enemy, the devil. Imagine a soldier waking up in the morning and going into battle, strolling onto the battlefield in flip-flops and a t-shirt. Ridiculous, but they step into a world filled instead with pressure, temptation, discouragement. All Christians do. And spiritual resistance. And yet we forget to dress for it. The enemy is real and has many different names. He hates God and the church and seeks to destroy the work of both. The word devil means accuser, because he accuses God's people day and night before the throne of God. We see it in Revelation chapter 12. And Satan means adversary, because he is the enemy of God, an enemy of the people of God. He's also called the tempter, a murderer, and a liar. And he is compared to a lion in 1 Peter, a serpent in Genesis 3 and in Revelation 12, an angel of light, as well as the god of this age. The origins of the devil are obscure. Many believe he was an angel of light, beautiful in appearance, called Lucifer. And it's thought that he led a rebellion in heaven to displace God. And because of this, he was cast out of heaven, and with him his followers, a third of heaven's angels. Satan is not all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. But he does have helpers. And these are the demons that, again, whose origin in nature is mysterious. Now, we shouldn't become obsessed with the nature of the devil or of the fallen angels. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms." The important point is that our battle is not against human beings or even ourselves. It is against the spiritual powers. We're wasting time fighting people when we ought to be fighting the devil, who seeks to control people and make them oppose the work of God. During Paul's ministry in Ephesus, a riot took place that could have destroyed the church. It wasn't only caused by Demetrius and his associates, for behind them were Satan and his associates. And certainly Paul gives the church certainly Paul and the church prayed, and the opposition was silenced. The advice Paul gave to indicate that Satan is a strong enemy. And we need the power of God to be able to stand against him. Never underestimate the power of the devil. He's not compared to a dragon and a lion for fun. But Romans 3 verse 31 says, "If God is for us, who can stand against us?" We have weapons to stand against him and his minions. And I'm going to go through these various armors of God. And some of it will be this week and some will be next week. And I'm going to start with the belt of truth. Tell the truth and shame the devil, we've been told. Life is controlled by truth, and it's by truth that we defeat him. And the belt of truth holds the other parts of the armour together. Now, if you've ever gone out when you've lost weight and you haven't got a belt around your trousers, you'll know that you're forever hitching them up and pulling them up. Well, the belt holds everything in place to make sure that you don't end up with your trousers around your ankles. And the belt also held the sword, the word of God. And unless we practice the truth, we cannot use the word of truth as well. Once a lie gets into the life of a believer, whatever that lie might be, everything begins to fall apart. Take, for instance, King David. For over a year, he lied about his sin with Bathsheba, and nothing went right. Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 tell of the price that he paid. John 8, verse 32 reminds us, and it says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The belt of truth is the entire gospel, the whole counsel of God. No one is ready to resist the devil who is not held together by God's entire gospel message. Think of a rock climber. He goes to the rock face, and before climbing, he checks the harness. If the harness is faulty, nothing else matters. The climb is off. He can't do it. But the truth is the harness of the Christian life. If what you believe is loose and loosely fitting, everything else becomes unstable. The truth is what keeps us on the right path. It's what keeps us all held together and is so important because of that. And then we come on to the breastplate of righteousness. Made of metal, this armor covered the essential parts of the body, the heart and the organs inside. And it symbolizes the believer's righteousness in Christ, as well as his righteous life in Christ. Satan, the accuser, but he can't accuse a believer who is living a godly life in the power of the Spirit. If we're doing things right in God's life, there is nothing in God's life for us. There's nothing that the accuser can accuse us of. The life we live either fortifies us against Satan's attack or makes it easier for him to defeat us. When Satan accuses the Christian, it is the righteousness of Christ that assures the believer of their salvation. Now imagine a firefighter entering a burning building. Their protective gear doesn't make them perfect. It makes them safe. And righteousness is a protective living, choosing purity, integrity, forgiveness, generosity. These choices guard our hearts from spiritual burns. I remember once that we had an electrician in our congregation in my first church, and I got him to put all his safety gear on, and he had these very heavy-duty trousers and a very heavy-duty jacket and a helmet and a face guard and a mouthpiece. And I said, every time he changes the plug, he has to wear this. But the fact is that this was protective clothing. It doesn't change the inside, but it does protect the outside from the burning and from the electric shocks. We need to have that breastplate of righteousness in order to resist those things that come for our heart and for our spiritual innards. And then we come on to the shoes of the gospel. The Roman soldier wore sandals with hobnails in the soles to give him better footing in a battle. Now imagine an icy day. Not easy in these weathers, is it? But if you remember well, then you'll know that on an icy day, it's no good going out in, again, flip-flops or any kind of inconsiderate or unsuitable footwear. If we're going to stand on ice, you need to have boots, and even better, those ice boots that you can get that you slip over the top of your soles and help you to stand. And if we're going to stand and withstand, then we need the shoes of the gospel, because then we have peace with God that comes from the gospel. We need not to fear the attack of Satan or of men. We must be at peace with God and with each other to defeat the devil. But the shoes also have another meaning. They must be prepared each day to share the gospel with those around us, in order to be able to say to others, I trust in Jesus and he has made my life complete. The most victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. And if we wear the shoes of the gospel, we have, the Bible says, beautiful feet. Now, feet are one of those things that some people hate and some people like. But the fact is the Bible says when we have the gospel, when we share the gospel, we have beautiful feet. It says in Isaiah 52, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Satan has declared war on us and upon the world, but you and I are ambassadors of peace, and as such we take the gospel of peace wherever we go. And then lastly this morning, the shield of faith. The shield was large, usually about 4 foot by 2 foot, or sometimes as big as a door, made of wood and covered with tough leather. As a soldier held it before him, it protected him from spears, arrows, and fiery darts. The edges of the shield were so constructed that an entire line of soldiers could interlock their shields and march into the enemy like a solid wall. Those of you who have watched films like Spartacus and others will know that there is the thing called the tortoise, where the shields interlocked and they went into battle and nothing could get through that armor. This suggests that we as Christians are not alone in the battle. The faith mentioned here is not saving faith, but rather living faith, a trust in the promise and the power of God. Faith is a weapon against the enemy. Faith is a defensive weapon which protects us from Satan's fiery darts. In Paul's day, arrows dipped in some inflammable substance and ignited were shot at the enemy. It reminds us that Satan shoots fiery darts at us, at our hearts and our minds. And he does it through lies, through blasphemous thoughts, hateful thoughts about others, doubts, jealousy, resentment, pride, hopelessness, and a desire for sin. If we don't batter off these fiery darts, they light a fire within and we will end up disobeying God. We never know when Satan will shoot a dart at us. We must always walk by faith and the shield of faith. Now, you and I have seen on the television pictures of riots going on in Paris, in London, in sometimes in Manchester and other places. And the riot shields that the police use are there to bat away the stones and bottles that are thrown at them. You don't need to catch the stones, they're glad to know. You simply stay behind the shield. And faith doesn't require for us to fight every doubt, just to stay behind what God has said and use his truth, his righteousness, his faith to bat away those fiery darts. So in conclusion, we are in a battle for truth, and we are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit, the armor of God, and one another. And if we stand for God, nothing can stand against us. Let's pray together. We pray this morning, Lord, that we might have those armors of God wrapped around our bodies as we go into the world to worship, to pray, to witness to you. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel shoes, the shield of faith, these things that help us to be protected against the evil one. And we pray, Lord, that as we do so, we might give you glory in our lives, that all that we do may give you glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.